This is a Talking Digital production. Find more great podcasts at talkingdigital.org. Integrative medicine is the art, study, and practice of bringing about wellness by treating the mind, body, and spirit. This is the Lumigrate Podcast. Welcome to this episode of the Lumigrate Podcast. I'm Adam Cochran, and with me as always is Marty Ross from Lumigrate.com. And today we have some special guests joining us from the ITC Compounding and Natural Wellness Pharmacy. We have with us Gary King and Alan Jolly, and we'll talk with each of them and find out more about them and their operation as we go on. So Marty, we'll turn the time over to you.
Well, thanks, Adam. We had a really good podcast already recorded with Gary King and Alan Jolly from ITC Pharmacy, and we wanted to go on and do more in-depth information about details about how they go about hormone testing and how people can do purchasing of compounds and supplements from them. So I thought I'd kind of throw it out to you guys and ask you to talk about what your common patient is. That I know that a lot of people have thyroid medications through you, and then also I think you do a lot of work with people who have fibromyalgia, which are people who are typically looking at Lumigrate, as well as people who are just wanting good information about how to stay healthy. So I thought you might be able to speak with that a little bit, and then talk more about how you go about getting people tested and prescribed with whatever it is that you think that they should have.
Go ahead, Gary. I was going to say, go ahead, Alan.
That's
ITC Pharmacy's main focus is to work on patients to balance their health. And to do that, most of the patients that come to us tend to be females that are either into perimenopause or heading into menopause. And once the patient gets into that situation, their hormones are out of balance. And when we say their hormones are out of balance, we're not just talking about their sex hormones. We're talking about their adrenal hormones, which handle stress, and we're talking about their thyroid function. Doesn't necessarily mean that they have true thyroid disease, but they are hypothyroid, and because they're not properly utilizing thyroid. So to work with those kind of patients, we do need lab work to kind of get a starting point baseline. And we prefer using salivary testing when we're checking sex hormone levels and adrenal levels, because we feel like we're getting a better picture of tissue levels than if we use venous blood serum draws. So we do provide testing through ITC that you can purchase from us. We use primarily a lab called ZRT. They're located in Oregon. The testing that we provide, we sell at our cost, which is Alan and I have negotiated ZRT down to about as low a price as anybody in the country. So, and we do that because the testing is not an area in which supports us financially. We use the testing to find the baseline where the patient is, so that either Alan and I and or Becca Slomiani, our nurse practitioner, can help them. And we have the patient do the testing. We have them fill out paperwork, providing us a medical history. We have them keep a calendar of events on the day they draw the testing, because it's not just numbers that we're looking at. We're looking at that patient, and we're looking at that patient's history. And, we want to put together a program that's going to help that patient live a long and healthy life. And to do that, we feel like that it's very important to use doses that are close to what the human body utilizes, which is called physiological dosing, which is quite a bit lower than most other practitioners that are practicing bioidentical hormone are using. And we're not saying that the other doses are dangerous. We're just saying we're more comfortable using doses that the body has been utilizing for years than putting in a huge dose of some hormone that we don't know what it might do long term to change that person's outcome and health. So the testing is something the patient, the salivary testing is something that the patient does at home on their own. We give them complete written instructions. They get the kit itself comes with instructions. We're so anal around here, we give them another couple of pages of instructions, because if we're going to ask a patient to spend $160, say, to do a test, we want them to get results that are going to be useful. And if they, you know, if they do the testing properly, then they get useful results. So we push really hard to make sure they understand what they're doing when they're collecting these samples. It's not hard. You just have to take certain precautions depending upon what current hormones that patient might be on. Once we get the salivary test, we also, most of the time, we're looking at thyroid function. And thyroid function can be done, you know, should be done not by saliva, but should be done by blood. And for patients that have a physician or are working with Becca that have health insurance, we recommend that they just go to a regular lab, and we send the particular lab tests that we want done to their doctor for them to sign off and to order from the lab. Or if they're working with Becca, she gives them a sheet for the laboratory to take there that gets the results that we need to make sure that that patient's metabolization is functioning properly. Once we get all these lab results back, we then call the patient back up and either schedule a consult with Becca if they don't have a physician to work with outside that's open to doing what we're doing. If they do have a patient that's open to working with us and listening to a pharmacist recommendation, then Alan and I do some consulting for those patients, and we do charge for that. Alan, I've rambled long enough. See what you can add to it. I'm sure I'm missing.
I think through all of this, it's testing the right thing the right way, so that we get results that are useful that can help the patient. So many times we get results that a patient says, "Well, I've had everything tested," and like Gary said, hormones, both sex hormones and adrenal hormones, are much more accurately tested by saliva. Thyroid and some other things like ferritin, vitamin D, that sort of thing, are perfectly well tested by blood. So it's a combination of things. We've got to get down to the cellular level, to the mitochondrial and the nuclear level, to find out what's going to actually happen when we do this or that. These physiologic doses are very important, not only from the standpoint of being effective and not causing problems long term, but to actually allow the body to cleanse and get rid of those hormones effectively rather than overloading the liver and other systems that might already be taxed to the limit. Obviously, stress is a whole another area that's important. That's the adrenal part that Gary was talking about. It's often not just the supplements or the medications that we can provide, but oftentimes how the patient modifies their response to stress. So we look at it from several different standpoints, but always from the standpoint of getting a useful number, but also looking at the patient's symptoms, because sometimes those don't go hand in hand. So we've got to consider it all, and you've got to consider the person's situation, where they are at that moment, and where they're trying to go. So, and we're trying to do that in a functional, objective manner, but there's also some subjectivity to it as well. But the main thing is getting the right test to measure the right thing and to work with people who are trying to get at those correct answers and help that patient move forward.
Is what you were talking about earlier related to the format for testing? Is some of the reason when Gary said that you go through extra steps with guidance towards getting people to do the home testing the correct way and the best way to get the best results? Is that some of the reason why other experts might be hedging away from the salivary and home blood droplet test kits?
I think it's mainly a factor of not knowing that we're trying to deal with the free amount of hormone and that can actually get into tissue and do something, hormones are to a large extent, 90-some-odd percent, bound in the blood and can't really function. So we want to look at that small percentage that's unbound and that can actually get into the tissue, into the nucleus, into the mitochondria, and make something happen. And we want to make sure that all those are measured according to how the body can actually utilize them. As Gary said, thyroid is best done by blood. Hormones are best done by saliva. And you need a practitioner like Becca that understands the difference and that can effectively order the right thing the right way so that we get numbers to determine what to do.
Okay. And part of the issue with the salivary testing not being widely accepted in traditional medicine is the fact that they, you know, doctors are comfortable with what they've been trained to do. And, you know, they've been trained to look at serum blood levels and work from that. And they're just not comfortable when they see a situation where you put a patient on a hormone and you test their blood and you don't see any change. And then you test their saliva and you see a huge change. They don't know how to react to that. They feel like, well, the saliva cannot be accurate if the blood hadn't moved that much. But in our experience, when you apply hormones through the skin, whether you do it with compounded products that we supply or even with some of the transdermal hormone patches that are out there, you do not see a corresponding increase in the serum blood levels because of the way the body handles it. So they're just not comfortable with that. And we have, Alan and I have different research articles that we share with them, and they'll look at them, and some docs will get a little more comfortable with it. And some docs go, well, you know, this study wasn't done on, 200,000 people and paid for by a big pharmaceutical company, so it don't mean anything. But bottom line is that trying to get a better idea of what their levels are in the tissue is a whole lot more helpful to us to be able to help that patient get better than knowing what their blood levels are. Like Alan says, most of it's bound up in the blood anyway. We want to see what's free and in the tissue.
Okay. So if a person were to also get a request from Becca or from their provider to go have a blood draw at a laboratory, do you guys have some type of an agreement with any of the laboratories in the United States for pricing?
No, we do not.
Okay. Because I know that that's something that in the past I've heard some providers do get to kind of, they do the same thing like you have with ZRT where they've negotiated a price that then they get a discount on those labs. So then that kind of frees you up to not be having to work one direction or another. People can use whichever lab they're most familiar with in their area. And then, so some of it you do with blood droplet through the home kit, and then some of it you do through a blood draw at a laboratory.
Yeah, if a patient doesn't have insurance, it's much more economical for them to get the thyroid done through ITC and ZRT lab using the blood spot test than it is to typically for what they can get, you know, pay cash for at one of the regular labs. So and much quicker and easier. They don't have to go to the lab. They can do it at home. So we do provide blood spot testing primarily for the thyroid values and the vitamin D. However, there are certain circumstances where patients are already on hormones that are being administered through what we call a troche, which is a lozenge that you dissolve under your tongue sublingually. Mm-hmm. And that would contaminate the saliva and make it worthless. You'd see a number that was higher than the tissue values under that circumstance. So we even test the sex hormones and to a smaller degree the adrenal hormones using the blood spot test, but typically only if they're on a sublingual dosage form.
Okay. And then do those testings get into then giving you information about what's going on with the pituitary?
As far as pituitary issues go, okay, most generally, if you have a pituitary issue, it's some sort of pituitary adenoma. And if you have that, that is not something that ITC Pharmacy or BECA is going to be comfortable treating. And we are going to be one of the few times we do this, but we are going to recommend that the patient goes to an endocrinologist for pituitary issues.
Okay. So that can kind of tease that out with the testing that you do.
You know, with the testing we do, you can sometimes spot what might be a pituitary issue, and then that would be when we would refer to another physician.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Alan.
I was just saying, if, for example, we saw cortisol levels that were skyrocket high, that might be an indication of some sort of problem at the pituitary, that we would certainly encourage that person to contact an endocrinologist as soon as possible.
TSH tends to be what most people get tested when they go to their provider, and anybody's looking about thyroid. So can you speak a little bit about what more you do and why that is, that that TSH piece can kind of trip people up?
Well, thyroid stimulating hormone, TSH, is made by the pituitary gland to stimulate the thyroid gland to make or thyroid, or not stimulate it if it, you know, if the levels are low, to not make thyroid. And in people that have true thyroid disease, that's usually a pretty good indicator. But for the majority of the patients that we deal with, they have more of a hypometabolization issue going on, which means their thyroid gland's not necessarily sick, but their thyroid function is not increasing their metabolization like it should. And so because of that, we want to look and see at the really the thyroid hormones themselves, including free T3, free T4, and also a reverse T3. As far as thyroid levels go, we feel like that gives us a lot better idea about does that patient have in their bloodstream the proper thyroid to help with metabolization function.
Okay, that's probably helpful, because I think that's I know that that has happened with me and a lot of other people that I speak to that have gone into the whole fibromyalgia realm of either being diagnosed or not yet being diagnosed with that for years they're going to the doctor, quote unquote, complaining about fatigue, and so the TSH is tested, but that does not pick up on what the actual issue is. And so they go by for a long, long time without getting that addressed.
We do feel that's one of the weak spots in Western medicine for these type of patients that, you know, that have fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue. A lot of times they have a decent TSH. I mean, the range of TSH in the laboratory is quite wide, and they can be in the normal range and with TSH and still have low thyroid function. But for these kind of patients, we're talking function. We're talking function at the cellular level. So, you know, the TSH level does not necessarily answer that at all. That's why we look at those other levels.
Do you work with just the United States, or do you also work outside the boundaries of the United States?
We do have international patients. We don't have a lot of them. It's very difficult to ship prescription medications into many of the different countries out there. So, you know, but we do. We work with people all over the world.
Okay. And all states in the United States?
We have at least one patient, the last time I checked, in every state, all 50 states.
Interesting. Very nice. Are there, what's your expectation for ITC to get products to people? About what time frame?
For patients that deal with ITC, as Marty's already documented earlier in the previous podcast, you order it from us, and if you're in Colorado, you're more than likely going to get it the next day. I mean, there are exceptions if we happen to have to make a formula, don't have it already made. It might be 2 days. People that live around the country typically are used to getting shipments from us in 2 days. And that's in all 50 states, except Hawaii's a little, typically another few days on top of that.
Okay. Yeah. I think it has been every 100% of the time. I even came in one time and ordered my refill off of your website, and then your supplements area is a little bit separated, but also at the same website. And I just put a note on one that I was ordering from the other side of the website, and you guys paired that and all came in one box and was there about 24 hours later across the continental divide. It's very impressive, I think.
Well, again, like Alan said earlier, you know, I mean, the reason we've been successful, or one of the reasons we've been successful, is because we take patient care as our number one concern. I mean, we know that patient needs to get their medications in a timely manner and their supplementations in a timely manner, and we've always strived to make sure that happens.
One of the things that I've picked up just from conversing with you in the beginning, I think it was Gary that was on the phone with me, as you do with other new customers, and I mentioned getting vitamin D in my Bone Builder supplement, and you enlightened me about that's actually a hormone and should be given sublingually as a drop. And so I, right from the very beginning, that was in the fall, ordered a bottle of your vitamin D drops, and true to your word, it's hardly half gone. So that means I've spent $10 in the last 4 months on vitamin D and didn't get a cold yet this year. So I'm appreciative of that. Wondered if you guys wanted to talk a little bit about vitamin D and supplementation and testing.
Well, I'll say a little bit and then let Alan's more of the expert than that. But as far as the dosing goes, I mean, vitamin D works orally, or even the drops you can, Alan puts them in his coffee and they still work, but they work more efficiently. I've learned through sublingual, just because if you think about it, vitamin D is made in the skin. So it just makes more sense. The body's going to utilize it a little more efficiently, but you can do vitamin D orally also. I just wanted to throw that in. Now let Alan talk about how important it is.
Well, I think vitamin D as a supplement and or a hormone is being discovered more and more each day. There's been some controversy about appropriate levels as of late. But if someone goes to our website, itcpharmacy.com, they can click on about, I don't know, third or fourth button down concerning disease prevention. I think vitamin, you know, people come in looking for calcium supplements, this, that, and the other, for bones, whether they're osteopenic or osteoporosis cases. It's more important always to look at vitamin D first as far as the bones are concerned, simply because no matter what kind of calcium supplement you're taking, if it has the right forms in it, or if it has enough magnesium in it, or if it has the other associated factors in it, if your D is not where it should be, you're going to have difficulty absorbing that, incorporating that into bone. So it's really important to have the D levels up where it is. We still feel that a number of 60 for the vitamin D3 is a minimum, if you will, somewhere between 60 and 80 is still generally accepted as a very good number. Most of the people that we've tested are woefully short of that, somewhere in the 20 to 30 range at best, sometimes a little higher. But for the most part, we recommend that the patients get their vitamin D tested. Your doctor's glad to do it, but you have to ask them to do it. So it's not something that they're going to automatically do. So take a look at the vitamin D level first chance you get. And as Gary said, use these drops sublingually. Actually, I do use them sublingually. It's my wife that doesn't like the texture of them, so I put them in coffee. So if you get that D level up, the first thing that's going to happen is you're going to start absorbing dietary calcium appropriately, as well as magnesium and other things. So that's a good first start, and not be too focused on a supplement. Some people do need a supplement, but certainly you would want to eat the right foods, of course, and absorb the calcium from those foods appropriately. And that's what's not happening in a lot of cases. The other important factor with D is the fact that it upregulates the body's natural antimicrobial peptides called cathelicidins. For years, researchers have been trying to find something that upregulates those cathelicidins to prevent all sorts of disease, infection, et cetera. And vitamin D really upregulates it. And again, when you look on that tab on our website under disease prevention, Dr. John Cannell is talking about that particular function of vitamin D. And his feeling is that if we all had a much higher level of vitamin D, much of our sick care system would simply disappear, and we would be able to naturally cope with things that people are often very afraid of in the news, like H1N1 or H5N1 or some other diseases, even the common cold, for example. And he makes a case for taking the vitamin D and not having those very common things that happen and making yourself just simply healthier in the process. So we believe strongly in vitamin D as far as a minimum level, and sublingual has, in our experience, been the best way to accomplish that.
Wonderful. Well, I think that's really answered a lot of questions. I know I can certainly suggest that people, I've been to your facility. If people walk through the door, you have somebody wonderful there named Pam that greets people and gets them headed in the right direction. If somebody calls in, I know you have another system for that and another person that shepherds phone calls. And then you guys are one or the two or both of you are always there. So I think in terms of inviting people to stop by, if they're lucky enough to be in Castle Rock, Colorado, or call in or visit your website, is there anything in addition that you guys would want to add, or Adam has anything that has come to his mind?
I was just going to say, let's go through one more time just on the basic contact information for getting a hold of you guys. What is your website?
The website is www.itcpharmacy.com.
Excellent.
And you guys are on Facebook as well, aren't you?
I believe so. They would have to ask Richard exactly. He's our web genius. So.
In all of the places that you're located, you certainly can go to lumagrate.com, and all of the links are found there as well. And they'll also be attached to this podcast when it's posted.
Right. When we post the podcast, what I'll do is write up a little summary of what the podcasts are about too, and then put links so that and update that Facebook information too, so people can look there. And then if we ever need to make changes, we can make changes on those areas. Well, I think this has been very helpful. It's going to streamline things for me a lot, because I'll be able to direct people to this podcast and have them getting the information that I want them to have about you guys, because I think you're a wonderful resource for people that are following along with Lumagrate and that I consult with on an individual basis. And I hope you find the same.
Marty, I'd like to say thanks for having us do the podcast. And Adam, we appreciate you getting this thing set up and doing it right. And Richard, we appreciate him getting the Skype set up so Alan and I could run from this end. So we appreciate all you guys helping us get our message out there.
Thank you. Yeah.
We wish you a lot of luck, and really appreciate hanging around with you guys today. And again, we want to encourage everybody to check out the website and also visit lumagrate.com for any further information.
And come back. We hope to have more podcasts about a lot of good topics.
Thank you very much, guys.
Sounds good. We'll do it again.
Thank you.
Take care.